Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. You know, we think about spring and summer as the marriage season, Scott. Sure are a lot of people we know who are getting married in September. Talk about Nicole Sclafani, who's getting married, and our good friend Kelly Rossman McKinney of the Rossman Group, a big day coming up. Hello, Kel.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
Just fine. And, of course, we have more polling data. And, of course, the Rossman Group, an independent poll, and some numbers that might surprise a few people.
Actually sure that they, well, most of the numbers don't surprise people. The statewide numbers don't, but we did, we specifically polled in the 9th Congressional District, which is down in Oakland County. Mm-hmm. It's the seat where Gary Peters is the incumbent. Mm-hmm. And he's finishing up his freshman year. He had beat Joan Nolenberg, and he is being opposed by the Republican candidate, Rocky Reskowski. Now, Rocky was a member of the State House for several years from Farmington Hills. He was the Republican sacrificial lamb running against Carl Levin a couple years ago. And he is eclipsing the incumbent in our poll. Now, it's not like a statistical it is a statistical dead heat, meaning right. that really his numbers are close enough that, you know, he could be tied with Gary. He could be slightly ahead. Gary could be slightly ahead.
Right. 45 to 41, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's really surprising to a lot of folks. Now, Rocky is also a veteran and continues to serve overseas on occasion. So, you know, he's got that sort of military hero demeanor as well, young, you know, and a very aggressive campaigner. So, you know, it looks like Gary's in a little trouble, and we have not polled on this issue yet, but, you know, the other incumbent congressman who's in trouble, it could be, is, of all people, the venerable John Dingell.
Yeah, I heard that, and that's just hard to imagine.
It is. Now, he's been in office for, what, more than 50 years?
Yeah.
And it may be a combination of incumbency, too long an incumbent, and it may be also that his age is starting to catch up with him in a way that voters just are no longer willing to have him represent them.
Well, and he was so closely tied, Kelly, to health care. And if you don't like the health care bill, you're probably going to associate it with John Dingell.
Well, that's a really good point. But he was also really closely tied to the folks who helped bail out the automotive industry.
Yes, yes.
And that actually is serving somebody like Virge Bernero, apparently, well, although Virge's numbers are still pretty weak in comparison to Rick Snyder.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not a good year for Democrats statewide at all right now.
I have a question about Oakland County. Obviously, that's not where our show is, but I'm very interested in this because it is such a significant county in the state of Michigan, and for a long time I think it was a pretty Republican base. Over the last, I don't know how many years, it seems as if it's been getting more and more Democratic. They slammed the brakes on that trend.
Well, I think that's true. You've certainly seen Oakland County become more moderate over time. I mean, even Brooks Patterson had to run a little bit of a campaign last time around when, Brenda, I'm blanking on her last name, the woman who is Virge Bernero's lieutenant governor.
Brenda Lawrence.
Yeah, Brenda Lawrence, when she ran against Brooks. Now, she didn't get a lot of traction, but she got enough. He had to run. I mean, he had to actually campaign, which he hadn't done in a long time.
Kelly, I don't know whether the polling would really explain this, but you get the feeling that whoever the incumbent is going to be in deep trouble.
Oh, I think there is definitely a lot of incumbent exhaustion. But I also think that people are really tired of politicians in general. So whether you're the incumbent of the seat you're running for, mm-hmm. or you've already been a politician, that may be a problem. And what I know is that Rick Snyder will really start banging on Virgil Bernero's long time at the public trough. I think his ad started running, in the last day or two, really starting to slam Virg for being a career politician. And it'll be interesting to see how much traction that particular message gets.
Mm-hmm. Looking at some of these numbers, this poll was conducted September 13th, correct?
Yep, we did it, and I think that one's a day. We did it at the RoboPoll, and okay. as you know, I've become an advocate of RoboPolls
yes.
because it turns out it's a very accurate snapshot. So it shows, you know, the Republicans ahead in the Attorney General race and in the Secretary of State race as well.
I think it's interesting, and some of the numbers I've seen about, in particular, the Secretary of State race, people who cannot identify Ruth Johnson or Jocelyn Benson, but they know which one they like. It's funny.
It's interesting because Ruth actually was Dick DeVos's running mate.
Uh-huh.
So she's got a little bit of name ID potentially statewide.
Mm-hmm.
But Jocelyn Benson is the one who's been running for this seat for more than a year.
Right.
So I kind of expected her numbers to be stronger, but, no such luck, Jocelyn. Not so far, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were Virg Bernero's campaign manager...
We know you're not. I'll make that very clear. Bernero's campaign manager, right?
But you've been around the political realm here long enough to know that when your unfavorable rating is higher than your level of support, you've got issues.
Oh, you've got big issues. You've got very, very big issues. And, you know, it's interesting. This town hall meeting where Verge showed up at Rick Snyder's town hall,
mm-hmm.
and I think he really did it in an effort to... kind of trump Rick Snyder, and
mm-hmm.
Rick Snyder actually ended up trumping Virgil by inviting Virgil in. I think what that did was actually show Virgil and Rick at their best, because one of the things Virg did in that setting was actually tone it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things that many of us have advised him for months is, hey, take it down a notch, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this ticked off angry mayor stuff only works for so long. So that was, but Virge can't really change his stripes for long, can he, Jack?
Well, he's 20 points behind Kelly. He can't just sit there and say, vote for me, I'm a nice guy. I mean,
well,
he has to do something. Doesn't he have to kind of pull one out of the bag here?
Well, come on, he could never say he's a nice guy because his credibility would be sorely tested by those of us who know him. Come on. But the other thing is, you know, he's 20 points behind and he does not have a pool of undecided.
Right, right, right.
Like he did in the primary.
Exactly.
There's no wiggle room.
And that's the number that as I look at, you know, when we talked about Virg Bernero being a double-digit trailer in the primary, well, he had 50-60% who had no idea who he was. Now the undecided number's down to 17%. That doesn't leave a lot when you're trailing by 20.
Right, exactly. Even if you picked up every single undecided vote.
Yeah, you don't need to just educate people. You need to change minds.
A lobotomy for himself. No, I'm kidding. That wasn't fair. But, you know, the thing is, in addition to what Virg would have to do, Rick would have to seriously misstep.
Right, right. It's going to take a Snyder gaffe.
And I don't see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that at this point, and, you know, that's one thing about debates. You never know what someone's going to say. But if you don't have a debate, then that's not an issue.
Right. And, you know, it's why John Engler chose not to debate Jeffrey Feiger, which is the last time in a gubernatorial campaign we did not have debates in the general election.
But, you know, John Engler was an incumbent. He was established. Now, everyone understood that. Here you've got a guy who basically was unheard of before the Super Bowl, and now he's sitting in such a position of power he doesn't even have to debate.
Well, not only does he not have to debate, but he's been going out on the hustings. You know, that town hall meeting he held that Bird showed up at?
Mm-hmm.
That was his 59th town hall meeting.
Right. But how many people are going to the town hall meetings? And I think that, don't you kind of get maybe a controlled audience there? I know that a lot of people thought that that was a very pro-Snyder crowd. Maybe based on this poll, there are a lot of pro-Snyder crowds. But I would think that town hall meetings would give you certainly a different cross-section or demographic than a debate would.
Yes, possibly, because in a debate setting, you know, assuming you're doing an organized debate that, you know, like one of the TV stations would run, generally right. Each side gets a certain number of seats at the debate.
Yes.
So you generally stack up with as many of your supporters as you can. So you're right, it's a very different kind of an audience. But it can be revealing in terms of who and what character the candidate is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people ultimately judge people on debates.
Yeah, I think that at this point, we've got 17% undecided. So unless some people would watch a debate and say, you know what, I don't like that guy as much as I thought, then you're probably right. At this point,
Jack,
the die is cast to a large degree.
Yeah, so are you in the undecided pool, Jack?
Am I in the undecided pool? I would love to see a debate. I love to see where candidates are interacting instead of presenting commercial messages. I like to see the interplay between them. I think that tells a lot about how someone reacts under pressure.
Well, that's true, but to me, I'm not sure how enlightening it would be for someone like you who already knows the drill.
Yeah.
You know these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Cal, thanks so much. Are you going to have more robo-polling coming up in the next month or so?
You bet. We're doing it every week from now until the election, so stay tuned, baby.
And the first Friday of October, that would be
October
the 1st.
After my honeymoon, honey.
Kelly Rossman McKinney of the Rossman Group. Thanks so much, Cal.
You bet. Thanks, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back, and we'll talk with Dr. Michael Diefenbach about National Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, coming up next on Ebling & You.